Who Shall Prepare Himself, Elder Marion D. Hanks, Marion D. Hanks, Conference Report, April 1960, pages 102-103. There are three matters which I would mention this morning in brief headlines, leaving to your judgment and experience the fleshing in of the story. First, I express deep appreciation for the clear and forthright and courageous expressions of conviction which have come from this pulpit at this great conference. They have not been intemperate nor unloving, but they have been firm and understandable and impressive. I mention this because there are those who seem to believe it unfashionable or even unchristian to have unconditional convictions, really to believe in something and to devote one's life and energy to those convictions. As this conference has proceeded, I have been increasingly grateful to belong to a church, the position of which is clear and the spokesmen for which are convinced and courageous. At a recent meeting I attended, a talk was given which seemed to be lacking in real conviction. At its conclusion, the chairman of the day characterized the experience as the bland leading the bland. There is none of this in those who speak here for the Lord. A statement of Paul to the Corinthians has been widely quoted recently. It seems applicable, he said, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Thank God for the unwavering note. On the first day of May, two important events will be celebrated in the United States in which Latter-day Saints should have special interest. While communist-controlled countries are using May Day to demonstrate their military might and their philosophy of rule by force and fear, the United States of America will be celebrating Law Day under proclamation of the President. Its objectives are to foster increased respect for law, enabling the nation to grow in moral strength as it grows in population, resources and world leadership, to provide an occasion for the American people to rededicate themselves to freedom for the individual under just laws, and to emphasize before the world the contrast between the rule of law in the U.S. and the system of totalitarian lands. Members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are committed to obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. We are under obligation to obey the law, and more to honor and sustain it. I count it one of the great privileges of my life to have been a student of the law for some years and to have acquired through that experience a great respect, as my father had before me, for the system of justice and the body of law which we enjoy in this land. This is not to suppose that every decision, judgment, interpretation, or application of law is good and just altogether. The workings of our appellate system, the initiation, revision, and abrogation of laws, testify that this is not so. It is to suggest that freedom and liberty rest on law, that our laws are rooted deeply in religious principles and rest on the moral law, and ultimately on the law of God, and that it is our responsibility at the ballot box, in the jury box, in civic responsibility and political leadership, in our homes and on the highways, to obey, honor, and sustain the law of the land, and to teach our children to do likewise. Also on the first day of May there will be celebrated the beginning of National Youth Fitness Week, and again no people in all the world should be more concerned with the implications of that day, because God has blessed us with the principles, the programs, and the inspired leadership which can lead the young, if they are willing, to the physical, intellectual, social, emotional, and spiritual readiness which will equip them for the great adventure ahead. Recently I had occasion to ponder the wonderful blessing of organization and leadership opportunities which the Lord has given us, and to consider what might happen if every Latter-day Saint, called to a position of responsibility relevant to the young, would accept the full implications of his stewardship. Think of the wonderful work being done for our children by faithful workers in primary and Sunday school and MIA, in scouting and exploring, in Aaronic priesthood work, and in seminaries. Think of the human resources available to the bishop and stake president, and to their counterparts in the missionary field, to reach out for the young and to give them what they need of love, personal interest, visiting, good teaching, recreation, friendship, testimony, and example. There is no program for youth in all the world in any sense comparable. What great things we could do. God bless us to have a sense of our responsibility and our opportunity in this church to provide the leadership for our young people which help equip them to be fit for the great days ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.